In this world, nightmares lurk. They hide in our neighborhoods, walk our streets, wear our faces. But they are not us. They are the world's best kept secret, and we are gonna find them. Welcome to Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell.
I want you all to imagine that you are in a small dark room, alone. There's a light on, but it's dim. It's just one light bulb. And in front of you is a table, and on the table is a vase. A semi-transparent blue glass vase with one white rose in it. How do you know the rose is real? Is it because you can see it? Is it because you can smell the fragrance in the air? What if you were blind? Or maybe it's just that the light went out. In fact, in this void in which you're sitting with the table and the vase and the rose, would you even know the difference between being blind and being without light? What is the objective reality? And how do you know that what you're seeing is that? Or, to put it another way, is there even an objective reality at all, given that all we know and all we experience in our entire lives is based on our ability to perceive the world around us with our eyes, our noses, with our hands? How do you know anything in any part of your life or experience is real? And therefore, if there were another world, or 5, or 10, or an infinite number of them all intermixing in the same existential space, how would you know? Maybe we'll find some facet of an answer to that question today on Uncanny Valley. So welcome. This, as you all know, is a Chronicle of Darkness tabletop campaign played in the Hunter the Vigil storyteller system, and we left our party and their new base of operations in the Harper family mansion, currently full of young trick-or-treaters, one or two or many of which may be a changeling. What would you all like to do?
Well, first of all, I love that new intro. second of all,
that was a sick intro.
Yeah, it was for so real. Good.
No, okay, so we left Abernathy with him pointing a shotgun at a couple of 7-year-olds?
Yes.
I would like to resolve that little point first.
Good, I was hoping that's what we would resolve. I think the best way to resolve that, in fact, is not with Abernathy. I think the best way to resolve that is with all of you watching him do it.
Abernathy has his pump-action shotgun trained at a couple of these adorable little 7-year-old, they're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, they're two little girls.
Okay, the two little girls in cat costumes, and they have a shotgun pointed at them, something that just should never happen to a 7-year-old.
Mason would immediately try to put himself between the gun and the two children.
All right, good move. Out of them.
In the same moment, the tour guide, the boy that you were with earlier, also jumps around where you are and pushes the girls behind him. And he's looking around at you going, "What the hell? What the hell are you all doing?"
I'm sorry. Am I supposed to come out here, or is my place at the haunted hayride?
Yeah, very sorry. We're having a, Darla, could you explain this a bit better, this misunderstanding?
I can explain. Apparently we're a little lost. My performance, I think, is meant to take place elsewhere. And as he's saying this, he's sort of like peeking around you, Mason, trying to like keep an eye on the kids, just making sure that they don't separate.
I'm watching the too,
yeah, the two little girls are clinging to each other. They are both very scared and screaming, but the one which seemed more frightened initially is crying. The other one is being a bit more sort of in a defensive stance. She's a very brave little girl who is ready to run or fight or whatever is necessary.
I like her. So for the listeners at home, I have a couple of dots of lore for Changeling because of my history with Mason's family. Would it be possible for me to roll just general knowledge on the situation, knowing that a lot of changelings can shape, knowing a lot of changelings can shapeshift, just kind of like, kind of get an idea of what to look for when hunting this stuff?
Absolutely. So for your character, since this is a matter of knowledge and experience,
okay,
we'll do it as a knowledge roll. So you'll use your intelligence,
okay,
your occult skills and merits,
okay,
and you'll get a dice for your occultist profession.
A dice for my occultist profession. Yes. Okay. What about the changeling lore?
Yeah, the changeling lore will apply.
Okay.
To knowledge rolls about changelings.
So I get two more dice from that?
Yes, you'll get two more dice from that. This is one thing he's very good at.
That one's cocked. Wow! Really? That is a failure. That is an entire... That's a
failure.
Yeah. Wow! Okay. And that's out of eight dice. Wow!
You do know, Abernathy. You know exactly what's going on here.
What's going on?
What's going on here is that child is a true fae.
I need to kill it.
That's a crit fail, fam.
All right. Abernathy, absolutely convinced that this 7-year-old is a true fae, a threat to this world, and is in need of a shotgun blast to the face, just sort of like... Cocks the gun and says, "Now, Miss Kane, was it?
Yes.
Could you see these kids off to the next terrifying experience? I will be nearby."
I'm gonna make you in this case, since none of the other characters in this game are aware of what's just gone down. I'm gonna let her roll a perception and make you roll a. Subterfuge?
Sure. Also, which girl am I convinced of is the one who wants to fight, kind of? Who's like the brave one?
Yeah,
the brave gotcha. One. A subterfuge. So that's manipulation subterfuge?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, can I also roll something to see if he intends on killing
one of
these children?
I'm going to say everyone that heard this, which is all of you, is allowed to perceive this. And Steven, your empath role would apply here.
Perception isn't a thing in World of Darkness. What do I...
Wits, composure.
Okay, so on a roll of 8 dice, I get a critical failure. Nope. On a roll of 4 dice, I get 3 successes.
Oh no.
Motherfucker. I don't see through it.
What are we trying to see through?
We're trying to see through Abernathy's motives here.
I saw that roll, JD. You.
It's 3.
You. Okay.
He's.
Defender wins?
Yeah.
Yep.
Defender does win. Abernathy is trying to make it seem like he is going to look after the kids when he intends to kill them. So I'm giving you all the opportunity to perceive that motive.
One success.
All right, that's a no.
But JD gets it. You want to add your empathy roll there, Wolf?
So Wolf comes stumbling in a little bit after Darla because he destroyed that bottle of Jim Beam that Mason gave him. I don't think you should be shooting kids. Called a hunch.
I won't be.
And could I use empathy on this one?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Alright.
Please do.
Yeah, I think Garrett really wants you to use that.
Yeah, Garrett does not want to shoot this child. Abernathy is ready to do whatever is necessary.
We're looking at 4 successes.
That beats my manipulation. I'm willing to take that, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sure. Wolf, you see through Abernathy's deception.
Okay. At which point, Abernathy, I'm going to say...
Well, I think it's Wolf's turn to
Go ahead.
Call you out, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Listen. Old guy, like, fuck you. Fuck your face. I've had a really, really bad day. And I'm not gonna let you shoot this kid. Okay? So I'm just gonna suplex you into a fucking table. Sound good? Sounds good. All right.
All right, then he does this guy. Right?
Arla, while this is happening, I think I'm going to try and, like, lock eyes with the tour guide. And there's sort of motion and try and get him to get on board with shuffling all the kids out of this room.
Yeah, in fact, he meets your eye and he immediately starts, with his hand on their back, starts guiding the kids and pointing towards you and having them run towards you and towards the door.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a specific interest in those two little girls, mm-hmm. And kind of slide in behind Mason and just sort of like usher them with my body.
Right.
So those two specifically, because he's sending you, yeah. He's sending you the other kids first to yeah. try and get them out.
I'm kind of hoping to sort of disguise them a little bit inside of a pack of children.
I'm not sure that's yeah. possible because the whole room's attention is on them.
Okay.
And also the tour guide doesn't fully understand that his he's thinking that these two kids are the focus so he can get the other kids yeah, out. Yeah,
okay, then I'll help him try and take all of the other children out of this room.
Okay, so we're doing that. You guys, please continue. All
right. Are you actually going, are you actually going to attempt to suplex him?
Oh, absolutely. He's drunk and had a really bad day. Wolf is gotcha. Totally going to suplex him.
Okay, let's go. I'll go ahead and roll for that. And just as a note, before that actually happens, Abernathy says, "Sir, I believe that you are drunk." Whoa!
And right. Wolf's just gonna say, "You got that right, motherfucker."
And all right, suplex this 49-year-old man.
Yeah, I'm burning a willpower for this.
Go for it.
I love how liberal Wolf is with willpower. It's like my favorite character trait.
He's drunk. He's putting his heart into it.
Yeah. No. Wolf's done with this. He is done.
All right. Yeah, suplex the shit out of me. What do I roll against that?
Let's see. I roll 5 plus brawl.
By the way, the Garrett Schmigel Corporation does not stand by the actions of Abernathy Kilgore Honeycutt.
Okay, listen, that was a crit fail. Okay, everyone knows that wasn't what you wanted.
No, it's not.
Garrett, what is Abernathy's defense?
My defense, is... Shoot, where'd it go? Crud! I did not write it down.
Well, your defense is,
Willpower.
Out of everything, I didn't write this down.
The lower of wits and dexterity.
Lower of wits and plus dexterity, they're equal. Plus my athletics.
Number. Yeah, plus, yeah.
Okay, so 5.
Damn.
Wait, what?
No, right. No.
Just
no.
Lowest of wits and dex. Oh, buddy. Lowest of wits and dex. Okay,
that's yeah, I told you wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay. Defense is 3.
Okay.
I was like, that so can't defense be.
Defense is 3?
Because JD would be a monster.
JD would have a defense
he was
of
7.
He was reading speed while he was talking about
JD defense. Would be that guy from X-Men who can turn his like body into any adaptable yeah. surface.
I was like, damn, this unarmored human has the same armor as Ember in Max 4. That's crazy.
Okay, yeah, so my defense is 3.
Problematic.
I rolled 3 successes on that.
All right.
All right, Abernathy, what you got?
Yeah. Fuck me up, boy.
It works.
Okay. So, a very drunk, very tall wolf in a suit, because he was wearing the suit from earlier.
Wolf in a suit.
Wraps his arms around Abernathy and just suplex into the table.
How much damage do I take?
I mean, 3 successes, so 3 bashing? Is that how that works?
Well, generally, each kind of attack has a set amount of damage that it does.
I will say, in his defense, he did do it into a table, like he said. Just full pro wrestling style.
I'm going to say it does 2 bashing.
All right.
And
a destroyed table.
Okay.
And the table takes damage as well, but it's all right.
Just
for those of you worried about the table,
it was an antique it still from has... 1963.
It was in fact Amish built, so it still has 2 health.
Oh,
I love Amish built furniture. It's so sturdy.
Not a single drop of glue.
I personally believe that Amish built furniture gets 2 extra health on character create.
Yeah.
So while the table would only normally have 2, it in fact has 4.
Oh, you took the Amish built era?
Yeah, it did.
That's the bonus of playing a Promethean.
Well, it's in the Harper House, so it got a few extra experience. off the bat from money, you see.
Okay, so with Abernathy slammed down onto the table, he just has a second where he has like has kind of like has to regain the wind that was knocked out of him, and realizing now that the the children are being let out, he like has to try and he's going to try and recenter himself, get back up on his feet to try and like you know stop the Truefae that he is absolutely convinced is there. And so so he's, like, staggering to his feet, and he's chasing after this teenager, saying, excuse me, sir, I believe that I need to speak to you about a matter of great importance.
We introduce his character in the next episode. He's a maniac. Yeah.
He becomes the monster.
I know. This is not looking good on him. But it is playing really well into his low clarity, or his low integrity.
I have a question, though. Since Steven, or Wolf, suplexed him, do you think that the gun would fall? Would there be a chance?
Do you think he would be disarmed?
That's a good question.
I don't think he would be disarmed purely because a disarming attack is a separate kind of attack.
Makes sense.
That he's free to declare with his training.
So he's just approaching this teenager holding a loaded shotgun.
Yeah, but I will say that it will be harder for him to shoot than it normally would. He's a little bit, you know, disoriented after sure. that.
I'm not about to shoot the teenager. I'm about to shoot the 7-year-old.
Yeah, obviously. That'll be ridiculous. Obviously.
Yeah, I know.
So much better.
So,
keep up with the plot.
So, at this point, I'd say about half of the kids are out of the living room. What are the rest of the party doing?
I'm recentering myself in front of Abernathy and just shouting at him. I don't know what's up with you right now. Stand down.
Since all the kids are making their way out, and I think Abernathy is being dealt with, I'm going to go over to the little girls.
Okay. I'm going to say you can't do anything more than try and comfort them until the fighting is over.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Can shield them.
I am. I'm gonna go down to the ground. Okay. I think, and sort of wrap my arms around both of them.
There is a dusty old grand piano covered in a canvas cloth in the corner. You could potentially hide under there.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay.
This is horrible. This is the kind of stuff that people go to therapy over.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
say today I hadn't made you question your morals yet with this show.
I'm playing a character.
You, Garrett, and your ivory tower.
It was just very timely that you made that comment before we recorded today.
Oh, God. All right, so I'm actually glad that it's Mason who's challenging him on this. So Abernathy is going to look Mason dead in the eyes, still trying to like kind of center himself from the from the suplex, and he says, "Young man, you know as well as I do the dangers that are posed to your family, and that danger is wandering into the next room in the guise of the most innocent of humans.
More than anyone in this room, I'm familiar with what that danger's like, and you need to understand something: that you're a part of a team now." And you're not going to make these decisions willy-nilly without consulting anybody else. Certainly not me. Stop.
Some big dick energy.
Should we... I want to propose something.
Yes.
How about we do a... This is a... Like Dee said, this is opposed in big dick energy. What do you say we do an opposed intimidation check?
Just don't make me use manipulation. I'm not trying to use that.
Okay, no. Like this right here, I think, is just kind of like two big dudes.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. it's like an FMA when you got the two brawny dudes staring each other down.
I'm with you.
Yeah, if you guys want to do a roll-up, that's totally cool.
Okie dokie.
Roll-up.
What do you suggest? I suggest at least one of the contributing factors is presence.
I would say presence.
Presence, intimidation.
Presence intimidation sounds perfect for this.
Well, I have no dots in intimidation.
I have one dot.
We're just going to be vampires for a bit.
Yeah. So, minus one, I get... No, I'm going to pop a willpower for this.
Okay. Go for it.
So, my willpower got restored. I need
no
to...
one character, I know I would.
Do you have a pencil?
I do.
Yes. That's a pen. Mike, you had a pencil. Here's one.
It's dull, but here it is.
Okay.
It's got a race, but it has no lead.
No lead.
All right.
That's good. Three successes.
One success.
Mace yes! wins, definitively.
All right. Then in that, case,
so I'm gonna give you, I'm gonna give Abernathy a persistent condition, which is, he is going from here on out. He respects Mason, so
respects Mason for like the scene, for the day.
I'm gonna say for the day, as Mason, if Mason continues to make requests of Abernathy, he is going to have to conform to Mason's opinion. Gotcha. This moment has really proven to Abernathy that he does not want to fight with Mason because Mason is a brick wall and it is a complete waste of his energy.
All right.
He's also not a child anymore.
Not a wee lad.
He just huffs and says, "If your house falls tonight, it's on you." And then he turns around and starts making his way out of the barn. And the whole time, just like you see him, like cock his gun back, just making sure that it's still loaded, and starts making his way back into the bunker where he knows that it's safe.
Oof. JD is going to kind of shadow him back.
All right. So, do you want to shadow in the literal sense, where you don't want him to know he's being followed?
Oh no, no.
Okay. Then go ahead.
He's just gonna follow him lightly, not like you awesome. Know too close or anything. Okay. But
all right. He's
just gonna keep an eye on him.
Sure.
He wants we'll to see what he's doing.
In sure. a minute, we'll check in with you guys. So let's go back to Darla and the kids. So you have them hidden under the piano.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why was that guy? Who is he? Why is he, who are you?
Hi, sweetie. My name is Darla. Uh-huh. That was my, acquaintance, Mr. Abernathy. He's having a bit of a rough night. He's a little bit crazy. But he's gone now. it seems like, so I think everything's gonna be okay. Well, where are your parents?
We came here with our friend Beth.
Is Beth with the group?
She went on the hayride? Yeah, the hayride. She was on the hayride.
Can I, while we're having this conversation, can I try and do, like, an eye for the strange
on them? Yeah, I'll say that you did one earlier, but you're definitely getting a closer look now. And you've had a little bit to inspect what the situation is.
Yeah.
Here. So, yeah, go ahead. Roll it again. The full roll with all relevant stats.
So that's, the full roll is Ivor the Strange, and then Occult,
mm-hmm.
and
what and was then it? Your, Presence.
Presence.
Would be right. Your ability score, or attribute that goes with that.
Can I steal a dice? I need to get one more.
I don't actually use these anymore, so just one permanently.
That would be three successes.
Three successes. All right. So around the more frightened one with the dark cat ears, you sense an energy, sort of like a aura.
That's unsettling.
Is it just Nora? It's no like. That's the, it's no, okay. She looks at that girl and she goes, "So my friend, Mr. Abernathy, he picks up on things that are strange, and that may be what set him off. Has there been anything weird that's happened to you lately?"
The little girl doesn't speak. She looks to her sister. And her sister's the one who's been talking to you mm-hmm. this whole time. And her sister goes, "She can understand, but she don't talk since the accident."
"What was the accident?"
"Well, we was camping. And, she got a little lost. And we had to call the... the guys in the hats that work at the
Oh, parks. The Rangers?
The Ranger, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to call the Ranger, and they got all the parents, and they had to look, and she was gone for, like, 3 weeks, and then the one day they came back, and she was in the campground, and they found her. And ever since then, she don't talk, but that's why we really wanted to come, because we haven't been able to go anywhere ever since the accident, because kind of Mama didn't want us to go anywhere. But it's been 4 years, and I told Mama it was that we should get to go like everybody else. And then Best Mom said we could. Ever since the accident, we haven't been able to go anywhere. And so I told Mama, you know, it's been 4 years, and I want to go and have fun. I don't care. If Beth's mom said we could go with her, so she said that we could go in the end.
Is Beth's mom here tonight?
Uh-huh. I think she was at the picnic table, you know?
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is, I think my friend Mr. Abernathy is gone. I'm going to take you through another door, and then we're going to go and try and find Beth's mom, okay?
Okay, Beth's mom said to find her at the picnic table.
At the picnic table.
Uh-huh, the picnic table.
Okay, grab my hands, sweetie.
Okay.
Both of you.
They both do.
Okay, and then I try and take them out of a different door.
All right, well, you first walk out into the living room where Mason and Wolf still are. So I'm going to give them the opportunity to interact with the situation.
All right, is this before they come out?
No, they're just coming out from under the piano, and you see them come out.
Wolf, you all right?
Wolf is doubled over trash can, puking up dinner. I'm fine. Oh, God.
Okay. Ew, he's puking.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Wolf has also had a bad night.
Oh, it stinks.
Yes, it does.
The girls both pinch their noses and hide behind Darla.
Darla, can you get them back to their family?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I don't think that they're...
Think of.
I think they may just be touched, but I don't think that they're...
Are you okay, mister?
Don't do professional wrestling and drink, kids.
Yeah, Mr. Wolf has had some bad life decisions.
I was sick 2 months ago, and my mom gave us Pepto-Bismol. It's really gross, and it's pink, but it works really good.
I need Pepto-Bismol so bad right now.
Uh-huh. She went to the store, the one with all the drugs in it.
Kids,
thanks,
you,
kid.
Are you both feeling okay? Are you thirsty at all?
The talking little girl sort of gets a mischievous smile, and she goes, I love Coke. Do they have Coke?
I don't have Coke. Give me just a second.
Aww.
I'm going to go over to the fridge and look for something to drink.
When he walks away, she looks up at Darla, and she whispers, and not really a whisper, Mom doesn't let us have Coke after 8.
Okay, so this is now kind of a tour house for little kids, mostly, mm-hmm. At least right now. I'd like to see if they have any milk or juice or...
Certainly no dairy, but there are sodas and waters.
No dairy. I think I'll get them 2 waters.
Okay.
It's soda. She asked for Coke.
Well, she can't have it after 8. I took that into account.
Mason, stickler for the rules.
Mason, perceptive about children's rules.
Children needs consistency, after all.
Mason would be a good dad, I think.
Processed sugar for a first grader? You might as well have handed him a pack of Marlboros.
The children needed some iron in their diet, I think. Calcium, rather.
But, from water?
From milk. We'll have to settle for the water. So we'll give them some waters. Let's go find your parents, kids.
Yeah, she said that they're there with their friends. I can take them. Don't worry. She says she's at a picnic bench, so.
I think you maybe I'll go with you to make sure nothing else unreasonable happens.
Okay, all right. Let's do it.
So you leave the... Well, there's... As far as you're aware at this time, there are only 2 options. The door you came in and the garage door.
Okay.
Not the bunker, just the normal garage door.
Yeah. We're probably going to need to kind of convince their parents that this was like an acting mishap.
Yes.
Because I don't need the police sniffing around the
home. I'll see what I can do. I'll try and smooth it over.
On our first day as a sub-organization.
We can just say he accidentally didn't understand the rules and maybe brought them.
We might need to apologize. You know, financial. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Probably don't need to flash money.
No.
Just gonna. That would be a terrible idea.
Is that too much?
Yeah, that's way too much. and so, I think Darla's just gonna say fuck it and take the girls through the door they came through at.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna follow. So you step out onto the porch. After all of the kids ran out, the girls that are running the ticketing table are kind of eyeing you, but they don't really have any concept of what just happened. Everyone else outside is as they were before, you know, partying and chatting and engaging in all of these activities. But to your horror, when you step out, you notice there is just a sea of picnic tables in the outside of the house.
I'm going to look down at the talkative girl and say, hey, sweetie, what is your friend? Is it Bethany? What was your friend's name?
Beth.
Beth. Uh-huh. What does her mama look like?
Well, just like Beth.
What does Beth look like?
Well, she's got really big teeth and blue eyes. Uh-huh. And blonde hair.
Uh-huh. What is she wearing a costume?
Her favorite color is blue.
Is she wearing a costume? Is her mom wearing a costume?
Beth is a witch.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, with a big hat.
Big black hat?
She puts her hands over her head in a triangle. A black hat.
Okay. Can I search and maybe see if I can...
it's chaotic. Roll me a wits composure. Our most jerry-rigged and overused roll on this campaign. Yes, Mason?
When I get a second, I was going to ask my ancestor something.
It's that too.
Well, you just so happen to find one of the picnic tables. There's no one else at it, so your eye kind of stops. And you do see a woman and a little girl with a witch hat on.
I put to them and say, hey, is that there?
The girl gets up on her tiptoes and sort of... Oh, you poor thing.
Sorry.
The girl gets up on her tiptoes and sort of wobbles and leans around and goes... Uh-huh, I think so.
All right, then I'll head in that direction.
Okay. So while you're in transit, Mason.
I mean, I'll follow slowly. Little bit of a gap. I'll just kind of pull up on the brooch. Just, Bethany, how did we tell the difference between the touched and the actual fae? Did we ever? Or did we just kill them all?
That's a very interesting question. I'm going to say with the skin under the brooch, which is, you just motioned on your chest.
Yeah.
So sort of in the center of your chest, you just get a warmth, like your skin is just overheating or like there's a sort of thermal blanket on that area. It's just sort of emanating and pulsing. And in your ear, you get the increasingly familiar, haunting voice of Bethany. She's just saying, all or nothing, all or nothing, all or nothing, all or nothing.
Thank you. I'll keep walking. Just going to kind of keep an eye out. I'm not sure what to make of that yet.
Before she gets over to the mom's table, Darla will sort of look over at Mason and just say, don't say anything. Let me handle this.
Okay.
All right. So we'll, at that point, Wolf,
mm-hmm.
Are you going to follow them to the table or follow the other two down to the base?
Wolf's probably going to try to head back towards the base. He probably has some medicine there, and he's gonna need a Gatorade.
Okay. So with that, we will... follow Wolf down and catch up with JD and Abernathy.
Okay.
So what are you two up to during this time?
Well, you said JD is just going to be following him, right?
He's following him almost as if he was just walking back down to the base himself.
Gotcha.
But he's definitely following him.
Okay. I would say, and he's not trying to hide.
So
not really.
Okay. Then I would say Abernathy at some point, he would hear him like falling down the ladder or falling up in the hall or something like that. And Abernathy walks back to where his bunk is, and he...
you wouldn't follow him into his bunk.
Is he at least going to be in the doorway?
Oh, he'd be outside. He'd probably be in the hallway.
Okay. Then in that case, Abernathy, once he's back in his bunk, is going to open up one of the suitcases and pulls out this this little wooden box, opens it up, and it's a gun cleaning kit with a bunch of like... I don't know what the words are for these things. I'll learn, but they're like scrubbing rods and everything. It's stuff that you need to keep like a barrel clean and like oil and all that to and all that good stuff. So he just kind of like cocks. He pulls the pump on his shotgun over and over and over until there's no more cartridges coming out, and then he starts to clean the gun. And as he's speaking, he's doing this, he sort of like glances over and acknowledges you at the doorway.
Well, he wouldn't be actually watching him. He'd probably be out of line of sight of the door.
He would. I would say that it's fair to say he would know you're there.
I mean, no. I mean, he'd probably have an idea.
Okay.
He didn't exactly try to hide.
He's not going to do anything threatening to you. Don't worry. He says.
But he's not going to, like, stare him down the whole time either.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be a creeper about it. You know, he just says, Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. You ever read the Bhagavad Gita?
Me? From outside the door.
You can come in the door.
No, thanks.
I apologize. I haven't. I don't believe I've learned your name.
You can just call me JD.
What do your parents call you?
JD.
Very well. Then in that case, JD, I hope you don't judge me too harshly for my actions out there.
Well, I get you guys don't like the... Whatever you call them, but yeah,
the threats to humanity.
We're gonna go ahead and try to cut down on the killing of children just a little bit.
One of those children ain't children.
Well, whatever they may be, they don't seem like they're posing any kind of threat right now. I don't know if that's one of your true fae. Didn't seem like it to me. Not like the one I met. They don't seem to have much, you know.
Do you know what a changeling is, there, JD?
Well, I know what that the scary bit we saw in the woods was.
The scary bit you saw in the woods.
Yeah. You know it's a
true fae.
Yeah, I think that's what they called it.
You encountered a true fae and lived.
Yeah, I saw it with my own eyes.
You lucky son of a bitch!
It chased me. It's rather quick.
And you outran it.
Turn into other people.
I can see why Isaac chose you. And he's still continuing to clean his gun.
Yeah, that's like a traumatic event. We can talk about that as little as you like.
That's fair. But understand that up there, one of those children ain't children. I can't guarantee that it's a true fae. I understand that I acted rashly. But at the very least, one of them is of the Fae. And the Fae do not give up what they have lightly.
Okay, well, we can deal with that without shooting other children as well.
Can we?
We'll figure something out.
Like I said, they're not children.
Whatever you gotta think, man, but you gotta know that that's not how things are gonna roll, at least seemingly with us around.
Pardon me if I'm mistaken, but I believe that our employer, Isaac, Mason's father, wanted us to, at the very least, do away with or divert those that would see a threat to humanity.
Yeah, working on the diverting part. Yeah, we had a conversation about that. That was, it's a point of contention to this you know, crossroad. So we'll just let it stay that for now.
I suppose we'll have to if this house survives the night.
Yep.
If this, if dark magic or perhaps even a true fae seeking its, what it sees as its own happens to make its way onto the grounds and, well, does away with all of us, well, just keep in mind I said so first.
Okay, well, that's fine. I don't know how much a couple of, shotgun BBs are going to do to stop said true fae.
It'll do more than nothing.
And I'm going to say about now is when Wolf arrives down in the basement. And I'm going to say he heard clearly the last two or three things that were said.
Wolf kind of stumbles over to the door frame and catches himself. Hey, JD. You want me to kick his ass again?
Nope, it's fine.
You've already done enough.
Situation's handled. I think just about everybody in here needs a nice sleep. I think we're all a little tired and cranky.
Sleep is good.
Sleep would be good, yeah.
Gatorade is better. Yeah, sure. God, I'm going to be sick again.
Please not in my room. I do detest to clean that mess up.
Yeah, okay. It's down. It's good. It's down.
Let me know if you need anything there, bud.
Yeah, do you know where my room is?
I think it's, this one?
I'm not sure if we start looking
at the rooms.
I don't know if anyone officially claimed rooms other than Abernathy and Darla. I don't remember.
JD would have placed his stuff in a room.
Yeah, I think people put their things down, but it's a reasonable question for Wolf at this point.
Should we roll for this?
I'm just gonna assume you.
I'm gonna put him in the freest bed I see. That's not my room.
I think I we'll see how this resolves if it matters or not. I will point out, Abernathy, this would be a great time if you felt inclined to use your herbalist vice.
That works for me.
He has a kind of interesting, for the listeners, an interesting vice related to his backstory, his character's experiences in other parts of the world. So he has he's a big proponent of alternative medicine, and gotcha. That is his vice.
Gotcha. Then in that case, excuse me, I don't believe I caught your name.
No, because I didn't want to introduce myself to you. I don't know you. You're new.
My name is Abernathy Kilgall Honeycutt.
Honeycutt. I can't.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Honeycutt. Is that a name or a profession? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And I'm a doctor. Not a good one right now, but I am one. And I'm going to say no to whatever you're... God.
I was just going to say, I believe I have a little bit of ginkgo here in my bag. It may help to revitalize you for the time being.
Okay. Even though Wolf is drunk, he still manages to express a bitch please look to you. Listen, old man, I'm sorry I pushed you. I tried to slam you through a table, but I'm not.
No, you were quite successful.
Doing that.
Well, I think we'll save the ginkgo for another time. Hey, come on, Wolf.
Very good. It is a rather rare root. He says. He says in a huff as he shuts the suitcase. What's going on?
We're all sick and laughing.
That's what's happening.
Welcome to Sick Cast.
So yes, first available bed. I'm going to.
All right.
Tuck Wolf in.
He's laid down in probably his bed.
Okay, Wolf has crawled in bed and he's like, "Ugh, fuck that guy. He's not thick. I don't like him."
Yeah. Aww.
I know, bud.
I know. He is snoring within seconds.
So he'll just creep out and shut the door very slowly, hoping that's his room.
So who's gonna room with Wolf?
Nobody. They're individual rooms.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So on that sad note, let's go back to Darla and Mason. So you arrive at the table, And the woman is indeed blonde, looks like her daughter, who is dressed like a witch, and scanning the crowd frantically. And as you approach, she sort of stops on you and gets a look of pure relief. And she rushes over.
Darla says, "Oh, hey, these little ones got lost, and I was just bringing them back to you."
"Oh my gosh, Katie Mary, I thought you were gone. I can't believe you. I told you to stay close." "We were close," says the loud one, and the quiet one just looks very frightened and sort of backs up into Darla's leg. And Beth's mother looks at you, Darla, and she goes, "Oh my goodness, thank you so much."
"Oh, it's no problem at all. They just, they were just, you know, they got a little lost from the tour.
Their mother bring them back. Is a basket case. You have no idea how she would have reacted if anything happened. Thank you so much."
Yeah, of course, anytime. Yeah.
Were they were okay, right?"
"Of course, they're perfect. Little angels."
"Oh, good." "Yeah, little angels. Yeah. All right, girls, come here." And
they did get a little bit of a fright, though, so I would recommend maybe taking them home.
"Oh, absolutely. It's getting very late." She checks her phone, and there's full of text messages. She sort of shoves it hastily back in her pocket and makes a come here motion for the girls. And the loud one goes happily. The quiet one stays by you, and she kind of looks up at you. And you have, there's moments in life where you can't say why, but just something feels significant. You feel like you're missing something, and the moment's over far too quickly to react.
"Oh, you know, I think that they said that they needed to go to the bathroom. Do you mind if I take them over there? They said they needed to go."
She looks at you kind of oddly, and she goes, "Well, thank you for telling me, but I think I'll take them." And she sort of gathers the girls up and "Okay, well, let's be on our way." And she walks them both away, and the quiet one, with her hand kind of outstretched and dragging her feet, looks back at you. And very clearly, she looks you in the eye for several seconds as she's dragged away. And she reaches in the back of the collar of her little cat suit, and she just pulls it down and to show you the skin in the back of her neck. And there's nothing there, but she looks at you and very soon is lost in the crowd.
"Mason, I think I made a mistake."
"All right. I know where the parking lot is. Let's go."
"She didn't want to go with her."
"Yeah. Come on, follow me. And I'm going to try and go around where they're headed so that I can get to the parking lot fairly quickly. Maybe push some people out of the way."
"Sure. Yeah, you get there. I mean, they're stopping at the porta potty, so you're there first."
"Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to kind of just like get us in some behind some foliage or something. What did you see? What's wrong?" They're touched by the Fae, but..."
"She didn't seem like she wanted to go with her. She seemed like she wanted to stay with me. She was trying to tell me something. I don't think I have the knowledge to know what she was trying to tell me, but she was reaching out back to me. Maybe this woman isn't what she appears. I don't know, Mason. Anything? Can I do another sense on her? Maybe
I'll let you try and reach out on the off chance you get an exceptional success.
Fingers crossed.
Just because you're a psychic, and part of being a psychic means sometimes you just know stuff. Even when you've already looked and you missed things, or maybe there's nothing to see there, sometimes with psychics you just know.
Yeah, can I put a willpower
in? Yeah, absolutely.
This? I'm gonna, can I get three dice?
Are you gonna risk, or are you gonna...
Jeez. How does risking willpower work? I've actually never done it.
So, you get a whole bunch of different... You get your choice of two benefits from a list of benefits. Mm-hmm. And success or failure, you suffer one condition. If you fail, you suffer two conditions.
Oh, shit, I'll risk it.
All right, go ahead.
There's a seven.
There's the nine again rule.
Nine again.
And then there's exceptional on three instead of five.
I usually get add three dice and success on three instead of five.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
John, I want to kiss you right now.
Yeah, you do. Oof.
It's good. It's real good. That would be five successes.
Yo! Oh!
All right, so Darla reaches out In a moment of desperation, in a moment of misconnection, she is reaching out with her soul because as a psychic, she is an inherently intuitive person. She's a person who is very connected with her gut instinct, and she just can't let it slide. She throws out her consciousness and is immediately whacked by a really intense migraine, which will take several hours to resolve. And she is zapped from, like, energy-wise, you're very tired, and you won't be able to do this kind of psychic reading again until you take a rest.
Okay.
But you do throw your consciousness out, and what you get is a direct connection to the mind of the quiet girl. You get a sense like you are a sort of little spy bug inside her mind, and it is a very loud place. It's a place full of anguish, discord, fear, and the suffocating feeling of being unable to express yourself in any meaningful way. And she's thinking about you. She's thinking that you may be the one that can help her. She's thinking that no one knows who the real one is. She's thinking that she can't do this anymore. She can't play this part. She can't do what the other girl wants anymore. And she hopes that you'll find the mark on the other girl's back.
Oh, shit. Okay, okay. Ah! Okay, Mason. We need to get those little girls back.
Is there something wrong with the mother? Or the
parents? No. It's the loud one. You know how the loud girl was talking and the other one wasn't saying anything at all?
Yeah.
Well, there's a mark on her back, and I tell him.
Okay. I'm calling JD.
I don't know if there's time for that. They're gonna take him.
Hello, JD. Get a car and get up here. We might need to chase down somebody.
Okay.
Quick.
You hear him? And okay. What kind of vehicles are there?
I don't think I've taken the tour bus yet, so you do still have that somehow.
Taken it yet?
Wasn't there a biplane down there?
Aren't there a bunch of vehicles down here?
But what I mean that is we haven't resolved how you're going to keep that yet. And you have... okay, Thaddeus drove. One of you had a car, for sure.
Wolf.
Wolf had a car.
Wolf's 1970s stoner van.
I like the idea of us kidnapping children in a van. So,
oh
so,
yes. No!
Are there any like in the hangar place? Was there any vehicles there?
No.
Okay, so he runs back into Wolf's room.
Yes.
Does that wake him?
Does it, Wolf?
The door kind of comes banging open.
Okay, high or low?
High.
That's a low, so you wake him up.
Okay. Wolf, I need your keys.
What?
Keys to your van, real quick. Got it.
Wolf tosses his keys at you.
You grab some, thanks, bud, and then just like slam the door on his way out. And he'll run back to the room. You stay there to Abernathy.
What the hell's going on?
And then he'll run back out and he'll jump in the van and he'll
I'm gonna demand that Abernathy has a chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that.
Well, he's not stopping.
I know he's not stopping, but Abernathy has a chance to try and follow you.
But at this point, he's moving just like very quickly. I'm going to say that he's gonna try and follow.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Well, is he running after him?
Yeah, he's chasing him. Like he's within. Like he's trying to get within earshot so he can talk to him.
I don't know. You just stay there.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
Is something happening up topside?
Maybe.
Then I think I should attend.
I was told to respond, not you.
Who told you?
Mason.
Then I'm coming.
Okay, so JD is going to get in the car and lock the doors.
Oh, God. That's so immature. I love it. So,
you open up that door young now, right, man?
Young now, right, man?
Shit.
That is a no good buddy.
You open up that... Oh, you bastard.
You're going to, like, jump onto the bike rack on top.
I think he's gonna have to run at this point.
Just if you're driving off without
him. Yeah, he's driving off without him.
He is gonna try and chase it.
He's gonna open up the window. You stay there.
Athletics and what? To try and keep up with the car.
To try and keep up with the car. Dexterity, athletics.
Okie doke.
And JD is going to hustle this thing out to the parking lot area.
Two successes.
So you make good time up until you get to the crowded section of the lawn, and then you have to start ducking and weaving around people. And at that point, Abernathy doesn't quite catch up, but he definitely gets within sight. He can see where you're going.
Okay, I can't really
and
do much
you,
about
Abernathy,
that.
Once you get to the more crowded sections, actually have a much easier time on
foot. I'm paying attention to driving.
Yes.
Can't exactly keep Abernathy in my rear view.
Is Abe able to spot Darla and Mason?
Okay. They are in the parking lot, which is, the lawn has a sort of thicket of trees on either side of the driveway, and that they've staged quote-unquote parking on the other side. So I'm going to say once you follow him through that sort of area, then you can see them pretty easily.
What do they look like from this distance? What does their mental state appear to be?
Frantic.
Gotcha. Then in that case, he is going to like power walk towards them. Still has the gun strapped over his shoulder.
Yeah. So you make good time.
Okay. So, as he moved closer to them, faster.
I'm
going to
say that JD gets there probably about 30-45 seconds before you do.
Okay.
So you guys can start your conversation.
I feel bad for like we're leaving Wolf in the bunker.
Well, he's got to sleep it off, you know? He's not really fit to hunt right now.
So JD's going to pull up, you know, like slam on the brakes and then did like jump up like, what's going on?
Okay. So they went to the bathroom and they were coming back?
Yes.
Do you think the others got up before they got in the car and left?
You have not seen them return from the porta potties yet.
Okay.
But I would imagine that Mason is very vigilant.
Okay.
Right now, looking for them to come into the parking lot.
Can I find them? Maybe climb up in the tree a bit?
Yeah, you can climb the tree if you want. Right. I won't even make you roll for it.
Mason starts to climb into the tree, Abernathy shows up saying, I came as quickly as I could. Why are you climbing a tree?
I told your ass to stay. There.
You told me Mason needed help.
No, I said he needed my help.
Why are you climbing a tree?
Down. You're behind the fucking bushes.
He's immediately on it. Just crouches down and just sort of like does that crouch walk like in any first person shooter. just kind of, what's going on?
Look, I agree, okay? Something's up.
Damn right.
Something's not right with the girls, even more than I thought.
I fucking knew it.
This is exactly why I didn't want him here.
Well, you're not going to shoot a 7-year-old.
Well, not like... Something bad's happening.
I'm not going to shoot a human.
You guys see him anywhere? They went into the porta potty. They didn't come out yet.
I'm going to go to the porta potty and see if I can keep an eye on him.
Whatever you do, buy some time. I'm going to...
Or maybe JD can? Because they don't know his face.
No. God, we really should just watch. I don't think we can do this without causing a scene.
As you talk about that, they do sort of reconvene. The three girls, three children, and the mom reconvene outside the porta potties, and then they do start making their way towards the parking lot.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. If you guys think you can talk them out of it and get them to do something with the girls, I don't think that's likely.
You're not going to be able to talk a mother out of giving girls to some random stranger. It's just not going
to
happen.
I want
to
follow the car. I'm going to bug the car. I need you to buy me 30 seconds to unlock the back door and put something in the car.
Shit, Mace. I don't know what I can do.
Did you find something out? What's happening?
Darla had something's extra wrong. We don't know yet.
I'll explain. Mm-hmm. Take just a couple seconds to explain to JD what's up.
They're moving towards the vehicle.
I'm going to kind of crouch down and sneak up behind some cars, try and get close enough to sneak over there.
Mason, maybe we can get into a small accident with her car. Okay. Like a little fender bender, and then you have to get out and do the information.
You think you can sell that, JD?
I can do that.
Okay.
And I'll be here on backup. Just in case.
And yeah, Darla looks at Abernathy and she goes, do not shoot anybody.
JD's gonna literally reach over and hit the safety on the shotgun.
All right,
let's just find out who we need to shoot before we shoot anybody, okay?
Spoil sports the lot of you.
So you guys, let me make sure I understand this plan, are going to intentionally wreck Wolf's car while he's sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. To bug the mother's car.
We are bad friends and bad people.
Yep. To possibly hunt and shoot the girl.
No.
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 I just wanted to make sure that was the plan. I'm just checking, you know?
We are here to hunt maybe children.
We are here to ensure the safety of one of the children.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Maybe both.
Definitely
maybe
one who is in distress.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood. So, I think the first action then is all of you getting in a car of some kind. Or rather, whoever is meant to be meeting and being the owner of this car that crashes into the
mom's car.
That
would be JD.
Yep.
All right, so JD, she's already seen my face. It would be an incredible coincidence for me to deliver those girls back to them and then very conveniently get into a
and
car accident.
Everybody else is going to get into the back of this weird van.
I think we should observe
which
from a distance.
Why I'm bringing this up, I want to make sure we're logicking through this. Yeah. So JD's driving the car.
Yes.
I'm sneaking up and waiting for the accident to happen so I can get behind.
You want me to do it in the car. Parking lot. I got it.
Yeah, it's going to be a parking lot accident.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
I'm on it.
So you all sneak around. She's not paying attention, but I will roll a perception check.
Parchance, is there a free parking spot on the opposite side of where she is open?
No, but there is only one way out of this place, so it wouldn't be hard to sort of idle by the exit and make it seem like you just came in.
Yeah, I wanna do that.
And since you're already in your car, I think that's pretty easy to set up. So I'll go ahead and let you do that. So she gets the girls in the car. They're young children. It takes her a while to get everyone settled. But eventually the car does turn over. The lights come on. She backs out, drives forward, and I will need you to make me a drive check.
Just want to clunk her.
Right. Difficulty two to just fender bend her.
So drive and what?
Drive and dexterity.
Okay.
Because the aim here is to not cause significant damage to either vehicle.
I'll put a willpower on this because there's children in the car.
Yes, that's a good idea.
That one looks like it's cocked.
Yeah, this one is cocked for sure. That one kind of changed that. Two.
That's what you needed. So you do manage to execute the...
The child.
The fender bender.
Jesus.
Fuck, Mother in Christ.
So as she makes a turn out of the sort of grassy area that's been turned into a parking lot onto the main road, and you pull in just in time to collide the two fenders in a head-on collision. And she, through the windshields, you're looking at each other, and you can see the shock register.
Well,
in
I'm gonna start to panic. Whoa! I'm so sorry.
And she looks scared, and eventually she starts rummaging around in her glove compartment, and she comes out with her license and
yeah,
she's going for a gun.
Okay, I'm gonna start moving up.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
Gonna grab the insurance from the thing as well.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was dealing with these texts from this kid's mother is just insane.
It's fine. It's just a little bump. Just a little bump, but I mean
is there damage? And she goes over and does this thing everyone does, the stupid thing.
Yeah.
Where there's obviously a dent, but you pull up the edge of your shirt and scrub it, just hoping it's just a mark. And obviously it does not come up.
Well, I'm just going to start, taking her, and pull out phones and stuff and be like, we'll just take some pictures, and then I'm just going to try to, keep her doing stuff.
It's not hard to do. She's very anxious. She does stop and go, Wolf's an interesting name. You kind of look like a wolf.
I appreciate it.
So she is distracted. Mason.
Did I tell you I'm a doctor?
With a stone. He is going to be so mad.
Interestingly, you think she starts trying to flirt with you when she realizes you're a doctor?
Perfect.
We'll keep it up.
Strange how that works.
So yeah, I'll need you to make a dexterity crafts roll, including your profession die.
I don't know about you, but I'd want to flirt with the doctor. They know where all the body parts are. So
and gross. Also where the money is.
In the body parts.
Yeah, it's in the kidneys.
I was once in Vic's body, and now I'm in Wolf's.
Jeez.
Am I like striking looks now?
If he was so in... No, you don't. You have a striking marriage material.
Four successes.
Four successes is enough. You are able to jerry-rig I'm going to say what you have on hand. It's probably like... Okay, so here's your options. You can jerry-rig some piece of camera equipment that you have left over from the shoot to try and get an image of where she drives. Mm-hmm. Or you can put your phone in the car and connect to it on your laptop to get a GPS signal. The downside being, obviously, that you'll have to collect your phone somehow in hopes that she doesn't find your phone in her car.
Okay, so what I want to do for that is I want to pop open the trunk and just slide open that bottom carpet that covers... Where your spare tire and your, and just slide it underneath the spare tire and leave my phone there.
Okay.
And then close it, pop the trunk back down, and sneak away.
Easy peasy. Done deal. And because you got four, you did remember to turn the location sensor on.
Yeah.
So you're good to go. So you guys clear the situation. She takes your information, you take hers, and she just sort of looks at you and goes, gosh, thank you so much for being so understanding. This is so embarrassing.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thanks. Bye. Like he's gonna suddenly just like.
Yeah. I suppose our insurance will call you.
Yep. They'll get it worked out.
Okay. And she hops back in the car and drives away.
And then I'll like make a roundabout. Well, that's gonna take us some splaining to Wolf.
Way to go.
How bad is the damage on?
It is a literal fender bender. The front right edge of it is dented in the shape of her bumper.
Okay.
So it's gonna be, I'm not gonna say a huge repair, but it's definitely a couple hundred bucks.
Darla's gonna look at Mason and go, okay, so what we need to do is I think we need to monitor where your phone is.
Yeah.
So we can get an idea where these little girls live. Because they're probably gonna get dropped off because that was their friend's mom. So it's not where it lands, it's where the stopping happens.
We need to get back on the road. Is Wolf any good to travel? No. Where is he at?
Wolf is the passed out.
Yeah, he's drunker than Skunk right now.
Okay.
He's not
going
anywhere.
You can check on him if you want.
I think we need to find a computer.
Well, I got that.
Well, let's go to the computer then. What are we doing here?
We should probably take a different vehicle than the one that ran into her earlier today.
Well, Mason's got like 30 cars probably somewhere in like a different garage in another house. So
we'll take the RV I've been using, and I've got my laptop there. So come on, we don't have a lot of time. We need to start following these people.
Good lord.
All right, so I take it you all pile into Mason's crafting RV.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So that does, it takes you a few minutes to get the GPS up and running.
This is making for great radio.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. But you are able to find the location, and you are only a few minutes behind, so you should be able to follow them as inconspicuously as possible in an RV if you want.
Yeah, count on JD driving. Mason, I have a question. You're okay with that?
What?
Can I count on you for driving?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mason, what are we going to do when we get there? It's not like we can kidnap these girls out of their house. That's quite a talk.
We can't do that. But if they're in a dangerous situation, then we can do something. What exactly did you see? I just know that it wasn't right, and that was good enough for me.
The little one, the quiet one, said that she couldn't keep up the charade anymore, that she wasn't going to do what the loud one was saying anymore. And I got the sense of the loud one, there was not something right about her. And she said that there's something on the back of her neck that will show that she's not right.
I would very much like to investigate that information.
Yeah, do I know anything else about changelings with the...
Abernathy, make a roll.
He would know.
You wouldn't know. He may.
Okay, so
History of
Changeling. Make the roll, I
okay,
say.
Gotcha. So that's two for Changeling, one for Occultist, two for Intelligence, and three for Occult. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a lot of dice.
It is. It's a good roll for him.
Don't fuck it.
I already have not Whew. Fucked it up. Whew. That one is cocked.
I see a zero, so.
That's another zero. Hell yeah. That is three successes.
Yes. Three is all you need.
All right.
So when you were a young man, you studied with some different folks.
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
He studied with a lot of different people all over the world over the years. Let's see. So what kind of information would this pertain to exactly?
I would say it would be your first little mentorship.
My first little mentorship? Yeah. Let's see. One of the first major teachers that Abernathy ever came across was a child shaman in an African micronation that no longer exists.
Jeez.
All right, so Abernathy, I think you actually do know something about this. So you can roll your changeling lore with your occultist and your profession die.
Okay.
Intelligence roll, please.
Okay, intelligence roll.
You nice. Actually know something about this from one of your past endeavors.
Okay, I'll craft something. Now, when I crafted this character, I should say his early life, up until, like, I would say post-college years, is set in stone. Everything else is intentionally nebulous, okay. So that I can do fun stuff like this. Let's see.
Gary, you're not supposed to tell people that.
I got three successes.
All right, so you happen to know that the old legends about witches, about how some witches have marks on their body that shows them to be practitioners, that actually is older than even the practice of witchcraft. Ooh. It, in fact, originally came from changelings.
Hmm.
Yeah, not all, because nothing is universal in the world of the changelings, but many of the changelings and their fetches. It's a changeling word. I think we've used fetch in this podcast, haven't we?
I don't think so. Explain it again.
So in the changeling splat, a changeling is a child who has been abducted, or I suppose anyone. Most of them are children, but they don't have to be. They are a person, a human, who has been abducted by a fae and taken through the hedge into that fae's realm and made into some kind of servant. The different uses and abilities that come with being a servant of a fae are absolutely mind-bending and incredibly diverse, but all of it changes fundamentally what that person is. They become a changeling, and if they are ever successful in escaping their fae, they return to the world a different sort of semi-magical being. The time in which they are gone, their presence and their life is taken over by a fake version, which is itself a fae creature. And that thing is called a fetch. It looks identical to the child, and it can behave as a human, although it frequently differs dramatically from the child itself. It has no concept of what that child was like. It's simply living in their place.
So I would know that this, that the girl who does not talk is a fetch.
You don't know that. What you know is that fetches frequently have marks like witches are rumored to on their bodies.
Gotcha.
And it's the girl that does talk.
Okay, so the girl that does talk has
so a fetch. You have a suspicion that girl may have a marking which the Silent One identified.
Gotcha.
And that may tell you the nature of that being, whether it's a changeling, whether it's a fetch or a fae. That mark may help you narrow the field, given what you know about fetches.
Okay. I believe that we may have had a spot of luck. I mean, all right. How many of you have heard stories of fairies coming in, taking children in the night, replacing them with something that looks like them but is a little wrong?
Yes.
Well, Mason, dear, I know you have. How about the rest of you?
Yeah, no, that sounds wild, but yeah, I'm kind of in now, so.
I mean, in, like, I'm like, fairy tales, yeah, maybe.
That
sounds familiar.
That may very well be what we're dealing with tonight. Now that symbol, he goes on to explain.
I mean, doesn't that mean that the generally, if I have my lore right, and I don't know if this is true, but don't they normally leave them to replace that kid?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
But I don't think that she's replaced her.
That's what I mean. There is a... Time works strangely in the world of the fairies. We have perhaps a little bit of time. Could be a month, could be decades before this child is returned as a fae-touched sort of creature. But up until then, this thing is something of a placeholder, a bookmark in our world.
So they're not twins? They're...
Well, one is taking the form of their twin, at least as far as I can suspect.
What I think he's saying is that they were always twins, but one of the twins has been replaced.
Exactly.
By the fetch.
Perhaps, did you say that they went missing?
Yeah, but I think it was the quiet one who went missing.
Well, where did they go missing?
She said it was in a forest.
Well, if she's quiet now, it's kind of hard to say that they wouldn't have gotten them
mixed up.
They are identical after all.
I am saying, though, that if we can identify the forest, perhaps we can find where she was lost. Maybe even find a way of finding out where she is.
How long ago was this, did she say?
3 years.
Buckle, did you tell me how long that happened?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years ago.
Yeah, sorry, I feel like I'm metagaming a little.
But maybe, well, she said that they had to call in the National Park Guards. Maybe we could try and see if that made the news.
Yep, it would.
Missing children always make the news, right? So it would stand to say that we could maybe just see Google around.
Can I hit up some databases?
Yeah, you very easily find the story. It's, Kansas City is not a small town, but it certainly notices two children going missing.
Yeah. And see if the particulars match up or if there's any new details or...
Well, it is, Darla, it stands out to you that the report is about two missing children. The little girl told you that only her sister was gone.
Oh, she lied to me. Oh, no.
That little bitch.
So they must all, they must have both went missing, and then maybe only one of them got replaced. Maybe one of them didn't make it out.
The one that was left couldn't talk about it.
Maybe something stopped her from talking.
Fae magic.
Okay, so maybe...
So one of the girls is... A changeling, and the other twin is still in the hedge.
Not a changeling. A bookmark full of when the changeling comes back.
So we have a bookmark and a changeling?
We have a bookmark and a regular little girl.
We have a little girl and...
The quiet one is the one that's the real girl.
Okay. They both taste like the hedge.
How do these say children it, smell? Say it. Smell, how do these taste, children taste, John?
Was it smell? It was smell. It was smell.
It's the smell of cut grass and the feeling of mold.
Did they both have that smell?
Sorry, let me pause.
Sorry, I died.
You killed him, John. You killed him. This is your fault.
Look, guys.
Oh, God.
I don't choose my words carefully when I'm playing Mason. They just happen.
I love this. They taste
like children.
Well, that classic child taste.
Oh my god.
He's gotta cover him with poultry seasoning.
Sorry. Whew, alright, let's pick that up again.
Okay, so were both children reminiscent of the hedge? And that scent?
So when you detected it, all your ability tells you is that yes, it's in the room, and a general sense of who it comes from.
Cool.
So you were not able to determine which was which, but you did get it, yes.
Okay, never mind.
We have to separate the children and then smell them individually.
Weird.
Thing is, no, I don't
sorry,
know.
That was a joke.
I don't know how this fairy stuff works, but I'm not sure that if we go into the forest to the place that they went missing, that place is even
still there, or it'll take us where we even need to go, because, like, you know how the portal in our bus just kind of dumps us in a place, and then there, we have to figure out a way to a specific place from there?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but if it works like that, we'd have to know specifically where we were going.
I mean, we wouldn't want to go in anyways. You don't...
Well, then how do you propose we get the little girl out?
First things first, we need to save this little girl from whatever is going on. Right? Okay. Whatever that Fey replaced thing is, I'm fine with killing that. If we can be 100% sure, getting rid of that, stopping that, the doppelganger, whatever it might be called.
Okay.
So it's a direct threat to an innocent life. Is everybody fine with removing that threat in some capacity?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you said it's...
Understand.
It's doing something to this other girl, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I don't know. I don't want to go to jail for kidnapping a little girl.
Yeah.
Well, you see...
Well, that's the easy part.
That's where we start. First, we get park ranger uniforms. Right?
Okay.
So what do you plan to do? Because they're not going to go to another park. I mean,
I don't know. That's about crazy. As far as I got, honestly.
Okay, all right.
You just want to dress up.
Well, you know, I just thought because they were like park rangers were involved in the original thing. Maybe they got an update on it or something. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not the plan guy.
Maybe we can try and get that the fetch if we can separate. Maybe we can just kidnap that one. Maybe we can get it to tell us where the other little girl is.
I know, Mason. It's difficult.
I mean, maybe we could try and get her to tell us where the other little girl is. And maybe we can try and find her.
What'd you call the thing that's replacing her? A fetch?
A fetch.
Yeah, that's what fetch?
He
said.
Yeah.
Well,
it's sort of like, think of it as replacing a... When you reach into the chocolate chip cookie jar, and you know there's 8 in there, and your mother knows there's 8 in there.
Well,
then you replace it with an oatmeal raisin, hoping nobody will notice.
Okay, well, despite oatmeal raisin and what have you, okay, you said something takes them and replaces them with this fetch.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And I think
is that thing attached to this fetch at all? Is that something that it does?
And that it created it and put it there. Probably could come back to it. Probably in some ways knows where it is.
I don't know. I'm just trying to... I'm brainstorming here, guys.
So it's around this time that you all, keeping a substantial distance, because it's very easy to notice you're being followed by an army. It's very easy to notice that you're being followed by an RV. You do follow and stop as the car pulls into a cul-de-sac and parks on the street. A thin woman in a sort of oversized knit sweater runs out, and she looks very nervous, but she relaxes when both girls get out of the car and run up, and she hugs them both and waves at the mom in the car and takes them inside. And she's sort of looking down. You can see that she's talking to them. She's asking how their night went. And it seems from the outside to be a perfectly normal home and family. Through the front window, you can see into a modest living room. It's a tan brick house with a low-pitched roof. And inside, you see a clean but worn living room and a tall man that you presume is the father or some kind of paternal figure. Who sort of, you know, starts talking back when they go inside. And at that point, you have to drive past the house because to linger any longer would be very suspicious.
Mm. We all see that.
Yeah, you all see that. And JD, you make a note of the address.
Okay.
Or I suppose Mason as well. He likes to take notes. Yeah. Either of you. I think it's reasonable that you would remember the address later.
All right. As Mason I would say that as Mason is writing it down, Abernathy would approach him and say, like, I sense some trepidation in you, Mason.
I want to do this right.
As do I.
I don't know if our family's definition of right has been the same as what I think it is. I want to make sure that this human girl or whatever she is okay. And that this other thing moves on. The Fae have touched this land and ruined things for far too long. But the people left behind, they're not always human anymore. So I'm concerned about them too. I know my father doesn't agree with that, but I don't see the distinction he does. They're still people. They've just been ruined in some way.
Well, for right now, we know that that fetch that was left behind is doing harm to a little girl that we know is human.
We have to solve that.
Exactly. That's one place that we're in agreement on.
So, I don't... It's frustrating. I don't know much about changelings. I do know one thing. Two things. We don't want to go to the hedge.
Of course not.
And that creatures from the hedge... This is strange. They can't resist milk.
I'm sorry?
something happened. I had to go there. And somebody saved
Mason. Hedge? Mason, where did you go?
I got dumped into the hedge for a moment.
And JD, pull over the car.
When did this happen?
It was in St. Louis. I had to.
Is that weird date you went on and then you were gone for an old time? We thought you got laid?
Miss Kane, I request your silence. JD, pull over the car.
We are on the highway.
Pull over immediately.
We are on the highway.
Stop at the next gas station, JD. All right. Yes, I went on a date. There was this really lovely girl.
And she put you into the hedge.
She was a changeling.
She sounds like a real winner, man.
I was asking her some questions about the nature of the Fae and
does
the changeling.
Does your father know?
He doesn't need to know everything.
Agreed, but...
But I came out alive and okay. And one of the things that saved me was a goddamn carton of milk. The things were drawn to it like moths to a flame. They couldn't stay away from it. I think we might be able to easily identify this fetch if we just throw some milk at the problem. I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense, but it was ridiculous how they were swarming all over it. It's such a strange thing. I'm sorry, but just file it away.
I think I actually have a pretty good closer.
Sure, go ahead.
JD, when you pull over to the gas station, make sure that the door is locked after I get out. I'm going inside to make sure that to see if the ingredients that I need for a ritual are available. And I'll make sure to pick up some milk while I'm at it.
Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell is created and produced by Buckle Nagel and Stephen Pope. The players are Garrett Schmigel as Vic, Deanna Venable as Darla, Michael Morris as JD, Stephen Pope as James Wolfe, and John Tompkins as Mason, with Buckle Nagel running the game. Hunter the Vigil 2nd Edition is produced and published by Onyx Path Publishing. Find us online at Uncanny Show on Twitter and www.uncannyvalleyshow.com. Make sure you check out Wild Cards, Experience Pointers, and other Saving Throw Show productions on the Saving Throw Network. And hey, have a good night.